You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 30th of December. Screen assists, and more screen assists. Don't worry, but we'll talk about Rudy Gobert's great screening ability and why it actually matters. We'll look at those trends that aren't going to last, and also some interesting substitution patterns involving Rudy Gobert, plus a run around the league. It's a Wednesday edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Hope you're super. Yesterday, I tweeted out during the day that Rudy Gobert had 17 screen assists that led to 42 points. I do this understanding I'm going to be panned, made fun of, and bothered, and mocked all across the world, and I don't give it. I don't care. I really don't. One, I think there is some value to it. Two, it's kind of fun. There's a major problem in NBA media that I'll point out, and I'm luckily probably not as beholden to it as everybody else. The major problem in NBA media in the Twitter sphere, if you live in that, is that if you say something that disagrees with any of the 5 to 8 powerful people, then you get panned and made fun of and minimized and it has a chilling effect. I'm really fortunate. I'm like the one NBA play-by-play announcer who has a job, who's not looking for that validation, who's out there kind of as talking basketball as well. Like, there isn't another version of me, which I'm sure drives my bosses crazy, but is truthful. And so I'm totally kind of willing every now and then to go say things or do things that are going to get me panned or mocked. But if you're a rising reporter and you do something like this, like, you could just have a feeling you've just destroyed yourself by like promoting the idea that Rudy's 17 screen assists led to 42 points. And that has some value because it's contrary to the public opinion. And because Zach Lowe, who I admire endlessly, and I call us friends. And I texted him yesterday. I mean, we get along, you know, kind of said in his piece a few weeks ago, I don't want to hear any more about screen assists. I do think screen assists have some value. When I say Rudy had a triple-double, probably not entirely, but maybe something to it. And I want to walk through why I think they have some value today. The Jazz are doing two things right now with Rudy and screens that I think are particularly interesting. So I want to walk through them with you. Let's look at Mike Conley's off-the-bounce 3-point shots from the other night. Okay, that's where we're gonna start. So here is, and I know this is on audio, but we'll see it. It's pretty interesting. So here comes Conley. He's got the ball at the top of the key. Rudy Gobert is about to set a pick. The big on the play is at the free throw line, dropping big. This is the drop big scenario in the league, and this leads to off the bounce 3-point shots. Oklahoma City's philosophy was to try to get on the top side of the pick before it's set. So in this case, Mike Conley wants to go to his left-handed to the middle of the floor off a Gobert pick. And Diallo, the defender, is already got his right foot as high as Rudy's right foot. I mean, they're almost parallel. And so he's going to jump it and force Conley to his left. And now Mike Conley, against a much bigger defender, is going to have to drive the lane, throw up that floater. The big can stay with him, and there's no pick and roll, and nothing works. Like, it's a good defensive strategy. That's the idea. So Conley sets his feet. Diallo gets there, and Rudy quickly goes from the left, from the pick to Conley's left hand, to suddenly he switches and drops underneath Diallo's left foot. So I'll try to put this up on my Twitter feed, but it's a pretty interesting little move here. So let me try again. Conley's got the ball, and he's going to go left hand off the pick and roll. All right, we all can see that, I think. Everyone's with me? Diallo, understanding that, knowing Mike's left-handed, not wanting him to go left-handed, he's not really left-handed, he's ambidextrous, is jumping up on that side. He's actually like parallel to Rudy so that Conley's not going to be able to make it that way. Rudy just flips around to the other side of Diallo and now just crushes him with a pick. And Mike Conley gets a wide open off the bounce three. It's been stunning to me watching us on how wide open we're getting on these off the bounce pick and roll threes. Like, what are we doing to get it? Well, here's what it is. They're overplaying it, trying to deny the pick, because the goal is if you can force Mike to drive. Now Mike's driving right at the big. The defender's behind him. Rudy rolls. There's no passing lane, and the play's dead. Instead, Mike reads it perfectly. Rudy sets an awesome pick, and Mike gets a pull-up three. Let's watch it again. This one's a little different. This one is where Rudy has the ball. Exact same spot on the floor. Rudy has the ball at the top of the, between the top of the key and the three-point line. Mike comes to get the ball. Rudy hands the ball to Mike, and everyone knows Mike wants to go to the left hand. So the defender, who I think, I can't see because he's so buried by Rudy, I think is Gilgeous Alexander, is trying to get to the left, the far side of Rudy to where Mike's going to come with his left hand. Rudy flips the ball to Mike, turns immediately and picks him. Right now at this moment, the three of them are in a straight line. Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, defender, basket. And Al Horford's actually, it's all four of them in a straight line. It's Conley, Gobert, defender who's attached to Gobert, and Al Horford. Well, now Mike changes directions to his right. Like, he and Rudy are just reading each other beautifully. There's no communication there. They immediately know that defender, Gilgeous, I still don't know who it is because you can't see him. Like, he's totally buried. Is now taking a step out to the outside of Rudy, and Rudy just pivots, and now he is buried. And Mike Conley is taking the three, wide open. Rudy has this guy on the other side, and Mike's taking a dribble to his right for a wide open three, and Mike Conley misses this shot, but it's a great shot. Let's watch it. Here's another one. This is third quarter. Okay? Gobert has the ball. Same spot between the top of the key and three-point line. Flips it back up top to Conley. Goes to set the pick on Gilgeous Alexander. Gilgeous Alexander steps so high. He's got his right foot probably a foot and a half higher than Rudy Gobert's right foot. So Conley can't get across the pick. They're going to prevent you from using this pick and running the pick and roll and getting Conley downhill with Rudy rolling. Like, that's what they don't want. So Gilgeous Alexander's right foot is up equal to Mike Conley. He's off balance. He's spread pretty badly. Rudy's on perfect balance. Conley sees this. Conley takes a dribble to his right. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't wait for Rudy to move. They're just in sync. Conley takes the dribble. Rudy Gobert, and I got to watch the footwork here because it's pretty neat. Rudy Gobert is set in his pick, and he just, as Gilgeous Alexander moves that high, Rudy keeps his right foot right where it is and just rotates his left foot over and then jumps into a different angle and now is picking Gilgeous Alexander the exact opposite direction. Mike Conley goes to his right hand. Mike Conley is wide open for three and nails it. You can say that screen assists are, you know, not a real stat and this and that, but those three plays, there's nothing going on other than Rudy Gobert is getting Mike Conley open. Now, Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert are on fire together and they're magical right now and they're reading each other beautifully and they understand each other, but there's nothing else going on there. On those three threes, and two of them hit, so that's, you know, that's six play, that's three plays, that's 6 points, then Rudy Gobert's incredible ability to get someone open with their screens. So I'm willing to be panned. I don't give a... I really don't. And those plays are great basketball plays in a high-level way in which, honestly, I don't watch everyone else's picking, But on this last one, I'm pretty certain that there's not another guy in the league that flips that pick that well with that understanding and free. I mean, Mike Conley is crazy open on these shots. Crazy open. So tip of the hat to screen assists and Rudy Gobert. And it is worth noting, by the way, 17 screen assists to 42 points means there were 8 3-pointers off Rudy Gobert's screen assist the other night. 8. We just saw 2 of them. I'll show you 2 more of them in a minute as we continue. It is Locked On Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by my good friends over at Intercap Lending. They Intercap's just done so many great things. So I've told you all about my guy, Steve Carter. And, you know, basically the best customer service you can get. I've now sent, you know, really every single person that I know to go see him. And, you know, I mean, the COO of Locked On Podcast Network, Carl Weinstein, has built the company into what it is today. Like, I sent him. Like, there's no, like, I screw that up. Like, I just destroyed Locked On, right? So, I can't give you a higher recommendation. The reviews are amazing. I can just run through them. Every single person talks about it. They're hyper-responsive. They embrace change. And Steve Carter just does the best job with lending. So, if you're looking to do a new mortgage, do some more lending, go to, or, you know, change, do a refi. Intercap Lending is the spot, and Steve Carter is our personal loan officer. 385-885-2828. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. I also want to give a little tip of the hat to Intercap, their community and involvement. Brock Worthen, their president, is really remarkable. They do the backpacks all the time for the kids. They've just continued to kind of do time and time again to do things. And most recently, they did a refugee project where Friday they delivered on Christmas Eve to their refugee project they've been working on, and it's great. He sent me a video of it. It's just amazing. So there's a video. They went to a family's apartment, and they had 2 mattresses and nothing else. No table, no chairs, no sofa, no beds, nothing. And they arranged for furniture and a small Christmas tree to be delivered. It's just great stuff. So tip of the hat to Intercap Lending and Brock Worthen over at Intercap. I want to show you 2 more plays. Have you, by the way, you know, I hope you don't find this too geeky. But I find this stuff, you know, you try to figure out why we're good at what we do, and you know, we are. So Boyan's struggling. He's got 9 3-point attempts on the game. And he starts the night, he's 0-for-3. And an incredible save by Mike Conley gets him going. And then we have 2 threes that are on this play that I love that we're running so much. So Conley comes to the front court. Rudy runs up like he's going to set a pick for a high pick and roll. So the big is back. And then Boyan's in the corner. The old traditional pin down is the Boyan waits in the corner. Someone runs down, sets a pick on the baseline. This time, Boyan leaves the corner. His defensive player is young. It's Bazley. He probably doesn't defend this great. Conley's at the top. Horford's now watching Conley. Rudy runs over to the left side. And as Boyan's running up, Rudy sets a pick on Boyan's man. Horford, Rudy's man, is back in the paint, right? Because he was prepared for pick and roll in their play. They don't worry about Rudy at 20 feet. And so Boyan gets a wide open catch and shoot 3 with 8:42 left in the third at 63-61. I mean, he is wide, wide open. Horford's back at the dotted line dealing with Rudy. Bazley's buried by Rudy. No one's open, and Boyan buries the 3. Now, that's the wrong way to defend that play. What you have to do with this is you've got to get body attached to Boyan as the defensive player, elbow in on him, can't leave him, can't release him, have to stay with him. It creates great spacing for everything else, right? That's the reality of what you have to do. A few plays later, the Jazz run a different version of this play. And what ends up happening is Kendrick Williams does a great job of staying with Boyan. So this is a similar setup. This time it's Donovan. He gets the ball from Rudy. And Kendrick Williams, who's defending Boyan, realizes what's happening as Rudy goes to set the pick. It's on the other side of the floor. And he bodies up on Boyan. Boyan does a super job actually looking like he's going to take a tight curl angle on this, which is the answer. Like, if they end up going that tight on the body, Rudy gets the pick on him. You tight curl it into the lane, and now it becomes a little pick and roll with Rudy. Instead, Kendrick Williams really does a nice job. Rudy, this is hard stuff. You're getting hit time and time again. Kendrick Williams going full steam into Rudy, and Rudy and Boyan have absolutely no separation between the two of them. This is beautiful. Like, how well done this is by Rudy and Boyan. So Boyan comes off Rudy with no separation. So Rudy is actually able to click Kendrick Williams off, even though his defense is really good on this play. Boyan takes the tight curl and then decides for whatever reason not to curl it. Okay? Maybe Al Horford's there. Donovan's spacing wasn't as good. I don't know why Boyan didn't curl it. But he doesn't. It's 195 Thunder, 647 left. We're in trouble. We're down five with 647 left. So Rudy and Kendrick Williams have had this collision. Rudy's made the contact. Boyan's completely free. He doesn't tight curl it. He ends up going back behind the pick for some reason. Rudy actually never stops with Kendrick Williams. Never. Just keeps staying attached to him. And ends up flattening the screen so that Boyan is behind him. And Kendrick Williams is actually now, it's now Boyan, Rudy, Kendrick Williams, Al Horford again. And Boyan says, you know what? I'll just take this super deep three, 4 feet behind the line. And he buries it on a game-changing play. But again, like, it might not, like, we can mock screen assists and all this stuff. But this is really great work by Rudy. He's free throw line extended. He's got a wide base. Boyan does a wonderful job as well of going off him. And when they go off each other, there's no room. And Rudy actually takes a step behind Boyan to make sure he makes contact with Kendrick Williams. Then once he makes the contact and Kendrick Williams tries to get back, Rudy doesn't stop. He keeps his right forearm on Williams. He then releases it. He just keeps his big body, understands how mammoth he is, and clears it so that Boyan gets a three. Now, that's not the way the play is designed, and that's not the way it's supposed to work. But it is exactly like what a screener does. And that's what's so impressive to how Rudy Gobert screens every day. And while we may want to talk about, like, screen assists are kind of a silly stat or this or that or da-da-da-da. Like, you know what? It's how we score. And it's how we're getting opportunities. And I am just not going to sit here and say that in some ways is not got the value. I don't know how else you're supposed to equate it other than our offense is always good when Rudy's on the floor. And that's probably as well. Sure, he can't shoot a three. He's not going to beat you out the bounce. He's not going to do the things that, you know, that maybe have to get done. But, like, from the standpoint of making a highlight reel, but if you want a boring-ass podcast that talks about screen assists, this is your guy. So, breaking that down for you. I wanted to talk about a few trends that are not going to continue. Both for the Jazz and around the league. First, I want to make sure you know about Locked On Bets. Daily podcast, the Locked On Podcast Network has put out. Your boy Q of Locked On Raiders, the host. Lee Sterling is the handicapper. They've been on fire. They even hit that Portland Laker game the other night. You can get on Apple. You can get on Spotify. You can get on Google. You can get on whatever you want because it, whatever your podcast provider. And it's all brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the official sponsor of Locked On Bets and the Locked On Podcast Network. And with the launch of Locked On Bets, BetOnline.ag is giving you a 50% welcome bonus. That's right. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. NFL regular season finishing up. Playoff picture is all set. Bowl games taking place. I believe Locked On Bets had a top conversation about the Oklahoma game today. So go feel free to check it out. One place you has you covered. One place you can trust. BetOnline.ag and the welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON is 50% on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Today's show also brought to you by Built Go. I'm loving it skiing. It's become my little go-to skiing, Built Go. 1.5-ounce package. Put in your briefcase, like before a presentation. They talk about your golf bag. I'm putting it in the inside pocket of my like vest while I'm skiing, and then after a few runs, busting out the Built Go to get me through the rest of the day. It's like a five-hour energy without the same crash feeling. It breaks you through that wall. It's natural. It's better for your body. It's got collagen in it, which helps protein. Which helps joint and soft tissue, so good for me while I'm skiing. It's also got B6, B12, alanine, B3, honey, and a little kick of caffeine. Built Go, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. It's a five-hour energy without the crash. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Check it out. Go to BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's BuiltGo. 20% off your next order with the promo code LOCKED. Let's go. All right, there's a few little notes I wanted to give you of things that are not going to last for the Utah Jazz, the little trends that are either good or bad. That are not, you know, frankly, we're small sample size. Like, oh, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. Like, here are the things I wouldn't particularly worried about, or at least I would keep an eye on. The good news is 30 corner threes in three games. That's 10 a game. That's pretty good. That's kind of where we want to be. Our rim shots are down a tiny bit from where we want to be offensively. Here's one. Boyan is 3 of 11 at the rim. Okay, that's the issue. He's 2 of 8 on corner threes. He's a 40 to 50% corner three shooter. So he'll be fine there. He's above the break. He's on fire. He's got it figured out. And I think his legs just aren't quite right because he hasn't played since March. So he's 3 of 11 at the rim. Donovan is 8 of 18 at the rim. Again, he's not shooting 44% at the rim. Those are numbers. Here are the numbers, like the negative numbers that, you know, will get better in the process. What I love is we don't have anybody relying on the mid-range. Long twos, Donovan's taken 11, Conley's taken 6, Jordan Clarkson's taken 3, nobody else has taken more than that. It's beautiful. We're shooting 23% on corner threes right now. Okay, we're a 40% corner three shooting team. Joe Ingles is 1 of 5. Okay, like I got a question today, like, oh no, what's wrong with Joe Ingles? Okay. So Joe Ingles is 5 of 15 on threes, and he's 1 of 5 from 3 on the corner three. Okay, that's not going to last. So let's say he makes one of those. He's 2 of 5. He's back to his 40%. And then guess what? He's shooting 40% from 3. He's fine. He's fine. Like, it's early in the season. Donovan is 0 for 4 on corner threes. Boyan's 2 of 8. Mike Conley's 1 of 5. Those guys are 40% corner three shooters. That'll come around. Probably not going to last. Mike Conley 47% on above the break threes. Boyan Bogdanovich 47% on above the break threes. That's too high. Okay? So those numbers probably are not going to last. The other one that's worth always looking at kind of early in the year to get a vibe on where your team is and what's going on is defensive shooting accuracy. So, like, and I'll go league-wide here for a second. So the league average is 36% from three. And I know everybody says, oh, you got to defend the three better. You know what? Defending the three is luck. If we look at last year's numbers, 35.5% was the three. And if you look at shooting accuracy defense, the best in the NBA was Toronto and Boston. They always seem to be. But they're at 34.3, 34.6. By the time you get to the fifth team league, they're within 1 percentage point of the league average. And the worst team in the league was Golden State. But then after that, you're at Portland, New York, and Washington. And they're within 2 percentage points. And the fifth worst team is within 1.3, 1.4. So that margin of 3-point shooting defense is going to get slim. So if a team early in the year like isn't playing well, the first thing I always check is 3-point shooting defense. So New York, right now, opponents are shooting 26% from three against Phoenix. Okay, they're 3-1. That's not lasting. Atlanta's undefeated, 29% opponent. That's not lasting. Orlando's undefeated, 32% opponent 3-point shooting. That's not lasting. Sacramento's doing well, 32%. So these guys are getting lucky early. Okay, who's getting unlucky? Houston's allowing 45%, Golden State 44%. Miami, 43% last night, obviously. Denver, 43%. So Denver, 1-3. We could make a lot of worries about Denver. That Denver's got weird statistical stuff going on all over the place. Okay? Teams are shooting 74% at the rim against Denver right now. Teams are shooting 43% from three. Like, that's not lasting. Teams are shooting 50% on corner threes against Denver right now. I mean, you can say, oh, there's something wrong. They're not like defending well enough. They're forcing it. The fact of the matter is Denver's got the fourth best location effective field goal percentage. So they're actually systematically playing defense right. Teams are just knocking down an unusual amount of shots, which makes them 1-3. Indiana, interestingly enough, is on the bad luck side of things as well on the three-point shooting. Teams are shooting a stupid 43% on above the break threes against them. That can't last. And yet Indiana's winning some games. Now, last night, they lost to Boston. It was going to be like, if they had won that game, it would have been their signature. But they end up losing to Boston 111-106. Boston goes 9 of 22 from three. I think, you know, a little bit of luck right there. I know luck's a bad one to talk about. It's no fun to talk about luck and think that those things. But that's truthfully like, you know, like I know Jazz fans got all excited. Like, oh my gosh, look at Denver. Denver lost again. Don't get that. Like, you know, don't get that excited. I mean, there's something weird going on with Denver. Like the fact that, but Sacramento shot 49% from three last night. That's just lucky. We got unlucky against Minnesota. We got overly lucky against Portland. It's so, you know, guys are what they are as shooters. Halliburton's really, really good. He's plus 20 last night. He's a huge talk of the league, the rookie out of Iowa State. Like, he's on his way to rookie of the year. They found a gem. They're playing him beautifully. But that's luck. All right, I got one other thing I wanted to talk about that I think's interesting that the Jazz are doing because of favors. And that is they're playing Rudy Gobert in what is usual bench minutes. So Rudy Gobert is playing from the 2:22 mark of the first quarter now to about the 8:13 mark of the second quarter. When he was on the floor, Oklahoma City had 5 bench players on the floor. And in that stretch, we were plus 7 in the first half. This is worth keeping an eye on. Like, how much does Rudy Rudy in this stretch was 3 of 3 from the floor, had 2 rebounds, and a block shot. And we were plus 6. Now, in the second half, Rudy came in, played, and he and Derek played. Derek played in the second quarter, and Derek never played in the fourth quarter the other night. So it's a little harder to figure out exactly. But it wasn't as good in the second half. The Jazz went minus 5 in that first part of it and then minus 4 to start. So they didn't dominate nearly in the same way. And it's not on popcorn. I use popcorn machine for this. It doesn't show quite as clearly when Rudy was on the floor and how he could have done it. But it's an interesting one for us to start kind of keeping an eye on here is when Rudy Gobert is playing this, he's now playing 3 stints. So against Minnesota in the first half, when Rudy comes in and plays and Karl Anthony Towns is now off the floor, in those 3 minutes of the end of the first quarter, we are plus 5. Rudy had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 points and two rebounds. On the backside of it, Karl-Anthony Towns still's not in. And Rudy plays 3 minutes. We were actually minus one in that stretch. So for that stretch, we're plus four. Plus four is a lot in a short period of time. In the third quarter against Minnesota, same thing. 3 minute mark to the 0 minute mark. We're plus five. So we were plus nine against Minnesota in the minutes that Rudy's on the floor against the second team in a game we lost. This is worth watching. In that stretch, by the way, Rudy went 2 for 2 for the field. He had 5.6 rebounds. So Rudy ends up having 7 points and 7 rebounds in that game against bench units, and we're plus nine in those times. Now, Karl-Anthony Towns checked in early in the fourth quarter because they didn't want Rudy on the floor anymore against bench players. Now, the key to this is that Derek, who's totally capable of this, has to be good against starters. He was minus 10 in the first quarter against Minnesota. And Rudy got in foul trouble, and so Derek played plus 3 against Karl-Anthony Towns the other time. But let's keep an eye on this a little bit. I might actually start a chart just like Rudy versus bench players. Feels like it should be constitutionally illegal. We go back to the Portland game. In the first minute 18, Rudy's minus 1. Their backup center is Harry Giles and Enes Kanter. And then in the second stint, before Nurkic comes back in, they're plus 7. I mean, this is pretty dramatic numbers here. In the third quarter of that game, Rudy's plus 1. And then even. So on that night, Rudy's plus 6. So plus 9 versus Minnesota, plus 6 versus Portland against bench minutes. And against Oklahoma City, we had a plus also, right? Rudy was plus on the front. The front half was a plus 7 or plus 6, and the back half was actually a negative, if I remember correctly. So, well, also harder to minus 5 to end the third, and then I think I'm probably, it's hard to tell because, you know, I have to go, I guess, to when Horford checks in, so minus 4. So he was minus 3. So far this year in those bench minutes, Rudy is plus 12. So good one to keep an eye on. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Kind of geeky, but that's what you'd expect. Right now, tell your smart device to listen to the most recent episode of Locked On NBA, your daily podcast, running through the action of the night before and giving a breakdown of everything that's taking place, big stories in the league as well. This is Locked On Jazz. Have a great one. Your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.